Truth.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty.
Good evening and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is October 30th, 2023. We got a great entertainment for you tonight, a great speaker for you tonight, as promised. I'm going to try to work in as much as I can on the Mondays until we finally say goodbye to the National Intel Report. I would assume that'll happen before the new year, but I'll keep you posted on that when it develops. I think Michael's still working on some things on that, so I'll just keep plugging away here on the Mondays, and the rest of the hosts will be doing the same Tuesday through Friday. But I was thinking about tonight. I've been thinking about this guest tonight for a long time. I'm in contact with her quite a bit through either text or emails, and she is a very, very dear friend of mine. One of the people I miss the most in California, Ron McDonald, and of course, Orlene Kurla. And tonight, our special guest tonight is Orlene Kurla, author, a very, very active member in California and Utah Eagle Forum. I welcome you tonight. Orlene Kurla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice to be back with you. Sorry to hear that this is coming to an end. You've done a wonderful job over the years.
John, this is John's show. We kind of pulled together and we decided to kind of do what we thought we'd do for at least 2 years. It's coming up on 2 year anniversary for John's passing. And I guess it's time for something different, to retire the show. I'm not saying cancellation. We're calling it a retirement and moving forward. Still in John and our memories, and I'll be doing a show in memory of John on the 6th of November. His passing was on the 5th of November, and that's 2 years now, so it's been a fast 2 years. But in his memory, the network continues and will go forward, and there'll just be some different programming. We're going to retire the show. So I wanted to get on as many people as I possibly can before the show is retired. I will keep my Sunday spot, as usual, off the beaten path, keep that spot, and just focus on that. But it's nice to have the Monday show because a lot of people don't want to work on Sundays, the Sabbath. And it's sometimes hard to get a guest to come on Sunday because they say, well, I got family, I got the Sabbath, we got church, this and that. I understand that. I fully understand that. So it's a little more difficult to get the guests that I want for a Sunday. So Monday works out perfect for me. You have been busy. You have been a busy lady. A lot of stuff going on in your world. I want to welcome Orlene Kurla to the Epoch Times, one of the writers now for the Epoch Times, which is a great, great accolade to have on your resume there, to be chosen to write for the Epoch Times. Orlene, congratulations on that honor.
Thank you. It was a real honor. My husband and I had been taking the newspaper for 6 years, and we used to have it physically delivered to us once a week. Yep. And we could never throw it away, so it was piled up all over the house.
I guess we thought
it was so wonderful. Finally, we decided to just do it online, that we wouldn't have to pile it up all over. But I was really delighted to be asked to write for them. And they've published, I think, 7 of my articles now.
Right.
And this was since last May.
Well, I cite them as a resource all the time and talk about you, and I talk about Alex Newman. Of course, Alex is a big presenter, a writer for the Epoch Times, but that is quite the honor to be asked to join their team. You're with top-notch people there, Orlean, so congratulations to you again.
Thank you. I'm kind of
joining the Epoch Times. Now, tonight, we bring you tonight because, well, I'm looking at your list of books. You're an author. You're very into what's going on in the state-wise and the national level, also with Eagle Forum. I know you're involved with California Eagle Forum. I assume you're involved with Utah Eagle Forum also. Are you also involved with Idaho? I know you've got roots in Idaho also with Eagle Forum. Are you involved there?
Only with a good friend who's in Idaho Falls, the chapter leader or the state leader for Eagle Forum keeps fading off into the sunset. So I'm not even sure if she is still alive and well, but Utah is definitely alive and well. Gail Ruzicka has been alive for 33 years there and leading all the conservative groups in helping to pass legislation. She's just amazing.
Very good. Well, I'm going to list a few of your books. We're going to do a book tour tonight. We're going to discuss your new book. But I'm looking back at your list. You've got quite a list here. You've been very busy. By Stealth and Deception, Common Core, A Trojan Horse for Education Reform, California's Water Crisis, Do You Smell a Fish? Islam Rising, Christianity Winning in Europe and the USA, The Hidden Seas of Common Core, The Golden Rule School in its book of quotations, Character Education, Just Say No to Big Brother, Smart Meters, The Latest in Biohazard Technology, America Needs a Revival, Not Revision, and your new book tonight. We're going to discuss something we haven't talked about in a while. I've mentioned it. It's fallen off the radar. The mainstream media will not discuss it any longer. Again, as many other issues I've brought to the attention of the listener, here's off the radar. This one's off the radar again, but we're going to bring it back, and we're going to bring it alive tonight with your new book. Tell us about your new book. It is about the Maui fires.
That's right. I called it Inferno Enigma. Inferno, if you are not familiar with that term, it really comes from... it's another name for hell, but hellfire and damnation. And I think when you hear about that fire, that's exactly what these people were experiencing. It just came from out of nowhere, and it was like an inferno. And Enigma is a big question mark. And so the second title is What Really Happened in the Mysterious Maui Fires. And the reason I was so interested in this, because I think it's very similar to the fires we experienced in Santa Rosa, California in 2017, and they experienced in Paradise the next year in 2018. These were not normal fires. There's no way you could say that a wild brush fire could possibly have done all the damage that happened in Lahana, just like a forest fire could not have destroyed 5,300 homes in Santa Rosa and 19,000 homes in Paradise the next year, with every home being destroyed clear down to their foundation, the cement foundation gone, all metal melted, glass melted, and a normal fire does not do that. It doesn't, a brush fire or a forest fire doesn't melt metal and glass and destroy cement foundations. It had to be something different.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was lucky enough, Orlean, of course, you know, I ended up moving a year after the decision was made to make Santa Rosa a sanctuary city. I said, that's it. I'm done. Put the house up to sale. We moved. And there's no regret for moving, really. I still look back, and I mean, you and I were going to those board meetings. We were fighting these people. We were using the law, except there was no rule of law being followed, unfortunately. These people were rogue, doing whatever they wanted to do. And the attitude they gave us, the smirk of we're going to do what we want to do, we're going to make this a sanctuary city, nothing can do. And now we look around and we see Massachusetts, we see New York, and other cities that are complaining now because they're being bombarded by the illegal immigration because they chose sanctuary city. So instead of accepting the blame and fixing their own problems, they want to make it on a federal level now, and they want everybody to pitch in their money to fix their problems, which they created. So I said... I did my best. I finally said I have to give up here. I don't want to lose my what I've put into my house. And I miss the house. But I do like it down here in Florida. We have a nice home again. But you're absolutely correct. What we're going to revisit tonight is pretty much almost identical. I've talked to Paul Preston about this. It's almost identical to what we saw, at least I know of, what happened in Paradise, California, and Santa Rosa, and Fountain Grove area. And people used to say, well, you're cuckoo. There's no such thing. I mean, come on now, Steve. That's Star Wars thing. Direct energy weapons? Come on. You can't be serious. Well, yeah, I am. I'm very serious. I remember, recall a conversation, a quote, an interview with Donald Rumsfeld by a media personnel talking about direct energy weapons. Are they perfected? Are they in use? And he said, well, we do have them, but they're not quite ready for being used yet, but we're working on it. So, yes, direct energy weapons really do exist. The government has control of these weapons. And tonight, let's discuss tonight the anomalies. The anomalies. You and I talked a little bit about it. We'll talk about the anomalies tonight. And I'm not going to work real hard to convince you of something because I think this listening audience gets it. They understand the weaponry that this United States military has of what they can do. I mean, this is, you know, we saw stuff like this in TV and Star Wars and, you know, all these other movies. They were sci-fi movies. And it was all fiction. It was not real. But now we know a lot of the technology and the weaponry they have in these movies actually does exist. And so, yes, they do have direct energy weapons. And this pretty much to me, I've looked over all the evidence. I've done my own homework, my own research. And I agree with you 100%. This is identical to Paradise and Fountain Grove. This was no brush fire. There were no embers floating in the air for miles and miles and miles and miles away, landing on homes, and the
landing on the boats in the water.
The boats in the water that caught fire in the opposite direction of the blowing embers, supposedly. These things are not possible. And when they're not possible, Orlean, you have to sit down and say to yourself.
Trees burning from the inside out, that was another really big one. Yeah. Trees do not burn from the inside out.
When these things happen, Orlean, you have to say they fall outside the boundaries of normalcy. This is not normal. Something is wrong here. And that's where you go to work with your book, breaking it down, what actually happened, what's feasible, what's possible, what's very unlikely. So let's start with the Maui fires. Again, it's off the radar. Nobody in the mainstream media is talking about it. But we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to break it down tonight. Let's start from the very beginning.
Well, I do have in Chapter 4 of my book, that's where I really go into direct energy weapons. And I have a picture from 1973. The U.S. military shot down a drone way back then. So this is something they've had for a long, long time. You'll also find out that one of the largest centers for the manufacturing of direct energy weapons is right there on Lahana. And, or not Lahana, but on the Maui Island and not too far away. And then I also show how this is on the GAO website, that stands for Government Accountability Office. They're really proud of these DEWs. That's the abbreviation of direct energy weapon. They have several pictures of them, and they show that the amazing ability they have. I'm looking at one right now. The direct energy weapon on the government website shows, first of all, a picture that with this weapon they can cause a crowd to back up. That's called deny, this crowd. The next picture shows degrade or damage. How they can damage equipment and destroy the electrical components of it. And then the final one is they totally destroy the object. So it depends on how high the escalation of, it's really 5G power that is powering these weapons. And as you know, I wrote a book about 5G, and that's where I really got concerned about this. But I also show in both books, the picture that the government has of, it's called an active denial system, ADS, and it shows a big laser beam on top of a Jeep. Yep. And this is what they use for crowd control. So yep. This laser shooting at a person's body causes them to feel like they're being burned, and so they just have to back up. They can't go any farther. So that's the first way they use it. Then, when the power is much higher, they can totally degrade or damage, ruin the electrical components. For example, what all of the cars were looking like, both in Santa Rosa, in Paradise, and in Lahana. The cars, every one of their electrical equipment, totally gone. The metal in many of the cars melted, the aluminum melted, dripping off on the ground. And then the final one is to destroy, and that I believe that is exactly what they were doing with these many, many homes that were annihilated, clear down to the cement foundation just being crumbled. Yeah. And then I show from the other website that is the one I show in my book that's coming from the big company that manufactures these weapons, the Lockheed Martin website.
Right.
They're so proud of their weapons, and they show what they can do, and they show a picture of a drone shooting down with a direct energy weapon, or they show there's an instrument called Athena that shoots up to the top and can bring down a drone, or shoot to the ocean and bring down a ship. It's amazing the power that these have and how proud they are. This is the latest military weapons that our U.S. has, and they're not denying it. They're not hiding it at all.
No, they're not. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was the first thing I was going to bring up, the active denial system, which is supposed to be used for crowd control at riots and things like that. It was actually implemented and sent over to Iraq, but I'm not sure they ever used it. But it is in the form of a direct energy weapon, and you're exactly right. Heating up the surface of the skin like it's on fire, and the further you go in, then the more your skin starts to elevate in temperature, and yet you back off. This is indeed a direct energy weapon, but not the kind they used here. And I don't know if you want to go into some kind of detail. I know Paul Preston and I talked about it. The seeding of the area, first of all, with little magnetic charges, I guess, of some sort, and a direct energy weapon, at least he believed that direct energy weapons going over in a plane, it could be mobile, but going over in a plane at nighttime when people are all sleeping. And his theory was basically the direct energy weapon itself would ignite those little seeds, those metallic seeds, to be individual little sparks to start fires. Is that the way you understand it also?
Yes, and before the fires happened in Santa Rosa for about 3 days, we had really heavy chemtrails over our skies, the same in Paradise and the same in Maui. And this was dropping, we believe, aluminum oxide, which makes everything so much more explosive. So the homes, the cars, anything would be more explosive with that already dropped on all of us. And it was amazing. You know, some people think that these chemtrails don't really exist, but the more you investigate it, I have several pictures in my books just showing a normal sky does not look normal when it's covered with circles all over.
No, it's kind of a tapestry back and forth. Yeah, I looked out today, and we don't have a lot, but sometimes we do. And I look up there and said, here's an example of chemtrails. And, of course, the contrail will dissipate pretty fast, but the chemtrail sticks around for a long time. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Right.
Isn't it quite amazing, Orlane? And I brought this up before. I've never heard anybody ever talk about it in mainstream. But isn't it quite amazing that all the fire suppression systems in these buildings, and that whether it's Santa Rosa or Fountain Grove or, you know, in Paradise, California, and also in Maui, that the fire suppression devices in these buildings, these warehouses, isn't it all amazing that they just didn't seem to work?
That's right. And then you find out that it was actually the water was turned off for Maui, and no one could use their hose to water down their own property. Not even the firemen could use hoses to try to put out the fires. That was really amazing.
And nobody's ever called out on that. How is that possible? By law, I think I'm right on this. By law, if I had Ron McDonald, he'd verify it. But I believe by law, if you have a certain number of people that come into your business, you must have a fire suppression device, which is a state requirement. And so these fire suppression devices are activated by heat, and they turn on and they sprinkle the everything down below and put out your fire. But for some reason, these things didn't work. Again, they were turned off and activated. I don't know, but it's very odd that all these buildings just burned down to the ground because there was no fire suppression device. And there should be an investigation into that right away, just saying, how is this possible?
For someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream. But we're never gonna survive unless we get a little crazy. No, we're never gonna survive.
Well, that's an appropriate title for a song right there. A little crazy. Yeah, things are crazy here. We're talking with Orlene Kurla tonight, our special guest in this show tonight. We're talking about the Maui fires, also the similarities between the Maui fires, the Santa Rosa fires, the Paradise, California fires, Fountain Grove fires, and how they all pretty much are very, very matching similarities. Days before, you mentioned about the heavy traffic of chemtrails. We talked about the seeding, using the direct energy weapon to start the initial spark fires. Let's discuss the homes. The sporadic, how some homes were unaffected and some homes were just totally annihilated. And some of the celebrity homes, which I want to focus on one celebrity in particular I'm very suspicious of, is Oprah Winfrey. And how I have a neighbor who told me that he heard, whether it's true or not, she had actually made contract with a fire service to take care of her property if something were to happen, a fire, and to be there to make sure the hoses were there and the water was turned on to make sure her home would not be ignited. I don't know if that's absolutely true, but I do know her home was spared, no damage whatsoever. There were a lot of celebrities who had homes that were untouched, and other places were just decimated. Now, we find out we found out before that, though, Orlean, that many of these people on this land, evidently it's desirable land, and there are people who want it to buy at pennies on the dollar, and now they probably are buying at pennies on the dollar, but there's a reason why they wanted to torch this area. Do you discuss that in your book at all? Any theories of why they wanted this area?
But I do want to let you know that it was not only Oprah Winfrey, but about six other amazing celebrities who have property on Maui, and none of their properties were burned, which is very suspicious. Yeah. And I go through each of these and say how much land they own, what they bought it for, huge amount of money. So Oprah actually owns 2,000 acres on Maui. She has like five different areas that she spent lots of money for. And I show a picture of one of the beautiful ranches she owns. And then supposedly all of these people have a guilty conscience because their property didn't burn. So they're helping to raise money for all the poor people. So she and her friend Dwayne Johnson have raised $19.4 million that they're dispersing to 8,000 people. Jeff Bezos and his fiancée, Lauren Sanchez, own a 14-acre compound. It cost them $78 billion, and they've pledged $100 million for relief efforts. Mark Zuckerberg and his wife own 1,600 acres in Kauai, which cost $175 million. They've pledged $400 million for relief efforts. Mark Benioff, the CEO of Salesforce, owns five oceanfront properties, costing him $12.5 million, and he's donated $1 million to the World Central Kitchen, which is another relief charity group. Peter Thiel, the co-founder of PayPal, owns a mansion in Makana, costing him $27 million, and his property is only 10 miles from Lahana, but not affected by the fires, and he has not pledged anything as yet. Larry Ellison, the co-founder of Oracle, owns 98% of the island of Lanai, costing $300 million. He's also not pledged anything. Pierre Omidyar, he's the eBay founder, whose net worth is estimated by Bloomberg at $9.36 billion, and he's pledged $500 million to the Hawaii Community Foundation. But it's so amazing, not one of their properties burned. And then the part of Lahana that had been redeveloped and was looking really nice, it did not burn.
Right.
There's a map that they show of all the area that did burn. And obviously, this could not have been just sporadic. This looks like it was very carefully planned along Front Street. You had asked, was this planned? I truly believe it was. And the reason being was that the governor of Hawaii had already had several meetings with the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, where he had told them that Maui was going to be the example of a smart city area with 15-minute cities. Well, you can't do that unless there's a lot of redevelopment going on, and you can't have redevelopment unless the original property there has been destroyed. And it's now destroyed.
Yeah. You know, I started to think about when my friend told me about Oprah Winfrey and hiring ahead of time fire suppression and fire treatment, whatever, for the property in case it caught fire. Reminded me of Larry Silverstein here, insuring his buildings before the 9/11 attacks on his World Trade Centers. You start to see this information. You start to say, well, that's really suspicious here. How did you know this was coming?
It really
you know.
Is.
And I wonder, has Oprah Winfrey been included in the Skull and Bones? Something to think about. Stay tuned.
Probably.
You'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it one shot at a time.
You
are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
And we are back again. My special guest tonight is Orlin Kurla, Eagle Forum member, patriot, author, and we're discussing the Lahaina fires, the Maui fires tonight, and the similarities between California fires also. You know, you factored in something that I was going to bring to your attention and just at least bring an idea out there. You beat me to the punchline. I was always thinking that it was further out, looking at the big picture of Klaus Schwab's The Great Reset speech in the World Economic Forum and looking at these fires. And you mentioned the smart cities developing the island, these smart cities, which we're seeing all over the country now. In California, seeing it. Many different cities are doing the smart city thing here. Again, part of Agenda 2030. I had a theory, Orlin, I want to throw at you, in that America is waking up to the tyranny and what their government has actually done here. And I'm going back to the COVID scenario, or the pandemic, the plandemic that they created. We are looking at a bioweapon that was released on purpose, with a purpose of depopulation, the entire country, the entire world. by at least 85%. I was thinking, I did some research. There's a book I read called Lab 257. I know you're probably familiar with that. There's a bioweapons lab outside of New York, the harbor there. Heavily guarded, heavily protected, military. You cannot enter the island. There's probably 100 people that live on the island, and they're not looking for cures for diseases. This is indeed a biological bioweapons laboratory looking for ways to kill people, large numbers of people. So you don't have to rely on a conventional military per se. You simply do it through chemical means or diseases or insects or whatever. There's many ways they're looking at, I'm sure, to eliminate people. Now, we go back to the 2007 TED speech with Bill Gates. And, you know, I when I first learned of that and saw that speech about how we're going to bring down, how we can do better bringing down the world's population through the use of vaccines. Well, there's only one way to do that. There's two ways, actually. Either sterilize the people or you get them really sick and they die off and they can't reproduce. And I think that's pretty much what we're looking at. We're actually looking at both. I think with the children, we're going to see a big drop off in teen pregnancy and young couples not able to have children because they've been sterilized from the COVID shots. So my theory has been, and I have nothing to back it up, it's just a theory, that sooner or later Americans are going to wake up, Orlean, and realize their government is trying to kill them, exterminate them for the Great Reset. Reset on the population. I'm wondering if, as heavily guarded as Plum Island is, you can't get on the island. Is it possible to do the same with any of the islands in Hawaii to simply have a safe haven for those criminals who brought us this disaster, this COVID disaster of depopulation? Is it possible they may have a place to hide and be protected by a military and a government because we can't get to them? Just a theory.
Well, I know right now Lahana has a huge wall that's built all around it. So nobody can take pictures of what's going on inside. And this wall went up so quickly. If only they could have done such a thing on the southern border. But of course they didn't. But
yeah. Yeah.
People were
nice.
Just amazed at this big wall. And one man who filmed it and was reporting on it stopped his car to go over to see if he could stand up high and take a picture over it. And he was immediately stopped by a member of the National Guard and told him, "I'm sorry, but you cannot film here. Get back in your car and go on your way." So it's, and he said that he saw police cars every 100 feet, but they didn't look like Hawaiian police. They were unmarked, and they looked like foreign police. So maybe they are planning something like that inside Lahana. Who knows?
Yeah, do you think those were UN forces? Do you think those were United Nations forces, Orlean?
They could very well have been.
Yeah.
But I know that it was the UN that the governor spoke before,
right,
as he was telling them what he was going to be doing. And, of course, it's all part of Build Back Better.
Sure.
And their plan to I really believe this was a land grab of an entire city, and that's what so many people believe as well. Mm-hmm. And I was going to go back to what I... this is the name of the place where the direct energy place is on Maui. It's the Air Force's Center of Excellence for Directed Energy Technology. It's the U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory, AFRL, right there on Maui. And so I don't believe that this was a coincidence that right there on Maui they had the most amazing center for direct energy technology. And I really believe that that was definitely part of their plan. And then you had mentioned some of the anomalies. I wanted to go back to the one about having no water.
Sure.
So the man that was in charge of the water actually was interviewed. His name is Haleo Manuel. And he had given orders to not release the water. Private citizens could not use hoses to put out the fires at their own home. And the firemen could not get water to put out anything. So he was being interviewed, and he said, "Reverence to water is really important to our worldview and well-being, but over time we have become used to thinking of water as just something that we use, but not really that thing that gives us life. It is a shift in value set. We as humans living on an island need to reconnect to that traditional value set. Let water connect us and not divide us. We can share it, but it requires true conversations about equity. So before he's going to release the water, we have to sit down and talk about equity as people are dying and their homes are burning. Anyway, he was then transferred the next day to another job someplace else. But Glenn Beck, who reported on this, said he should have been fired. Yeah. And then the other anomaly was that there was no siren sounding, no warning whatsoever.
Right.
And they're supposed to have the most robust emergency siren system in the world with 80 sirens across the island. And they've worked really well in the past when approaching hurricanes were coming. But Herman Andaya, the director in charge of the Emergency Management Agency, would not apologize for not having sounded it in a press conference that took place on August 16th that was also reported on the Glenn Beck Show. He said that he didn't sound the alarm because he was afraid people would think there was a hurricane coming, and always in the past they would run towards the mountains if a hurricane was coming, and that's where the fire was coming from. Mm-hmm. Well, surely these people have eyes.
I think the temperature on their skin, the fire's in this direction, I'm going in this direction instead. Yeah, I heard that lame excuse also, and I had to laugh about it.
He then resigned the next day because people were not buying that excuse. And the other interesting thing is that I wonder,
Orlean, if had somebody taken a drone, one of these individual personal drones you can have, and set it up to go and take pictures in this area. They don't want you to take pictures. If our military is in place right now to shoot that thing down, they don't want you to get any footage whatsoever. I would like to see if somebody has actually tried that, to send up their own personal drone up and bring
it back.
They were
told that no drones were allowed to go over these big walls. They would be shut down. So you're probably right. The National Guard would shoot them down. I did want to mention that Herman,
there's nothing to hide here, but we just can't have you filming anything. Right.
But this Herman Andaya, the director in charge of emergency management, and the fire chief were both missing on August 8th, and they were off on another island having a special training for a day, what to do in case of emergency fires coming.
That almost reminds me of the exercise they were doing before the 9/11 attack.
Exactly.
I write about that in my book.
Right. all of our Air Force were off having a drill with the Canadian Air Force of what would happen if someone would attack a building like the Twin Towers. And so when the Twin Towers were really being attacked, the Air Force had no idea. They thought that was just part of the drill. So it was very confusing for them. That could not possibly have happened by coincidence.
Yeah. And take notice also, probably in your book, also that they quickly found a patsy, somebody to blame the fires on, even though the anomalies, nobody wants to address the anomalies, these things that can't possibly happen, but they found somebody to blame right off the bat. In California, it was PG&E Electric Company, and in Hawaii, they blamed the electric company there. So they got their deep pockets. They're going to get rid of these electric people anyway here. They're just going to go with some other, wind farms or whatever they're going to use. But they simply found their patsy to blame this whole thing on. But there's so many anomalies with both these fires that just can't be.
And of course, they also try to blame it on climate change.
Of course.
And the other interesting thing is that just 2 days after this terrible, horrible tragedy that took place on August 8th, 2 days later, a book came out called Fire and Fury. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
And they think it maybe was AI generated because it was impossible. I cannot write a book in 2 days. Nobody can.
I did hear about that. I did mention that. And again, Nostradamus actually wrote a book about it, and boom, it happened. You think we should actually sit him down in a room and talk to him? How did you know this?
Anyway, its second title is Disturb the 2023 Maui Fires and its implications for climate change. And they mentioned that 6 people had died. Well, no, it went up to 115, but Glenn Beck said that there were 480 bags to bury people in, and they ran out of bags at that point, so there were a lot more than what they were saying. Another, they lowered the number of dead to 98.
Yeah.
It would be nice if they could make up their
mind. Playing with the numbers. Playing with the numbers.
Right.
Did the same thing with the World Trade Center, initially going to 50,000 people died today when the World Trade Center came down, and later on, boom, the number kept changing. Always the bigger numbers, the more horrific number, of course, that brings in viewers, more advertising dollars. And now what we've learned, 3,400 people died in the World Trade Center. Again, they played the same plan, the game plan from the same game book. With bringing down the numbers. First it was high, and now it's low again. It's hard to figure out where to get the news and where you're going to get the accuracy in the numbers of people that actually died here, Orlene.
That's the truth. And then the missing children, they still, it's like over 1,000 children have not come back to school. And where are they? Nobody seems to even be questioning anymore. One of the writers that I read about, he believes that there are lots of underground places in Lahana where child sex trafficking takes place, and he believes that maybe these children were even taken before they were taken back to their homes after the schools let out, and the parents never saw them after that. Of course, the parents thought they died in the homes because most of the parents were off working, didn't even know their children had been returned to the homes. Because for some reason, most of the cell phones were not working, so children couldn't call parents, and parents couldn't call children.
Yep.
But some people believe that that's also what maybe happened to the children, that they are, and they say that that is
a... It might have been a good cover-up, no doubt about it. After watching the movie Sound of Freedom, that's quite possible, a cover-up of something to blame on when they were actually snatched children. I would not be surprised,
They say that that happens a lot during terrible natural disasters or unnatural ones, during earthquakes or hurricanes. That's a time for snapping up children, and that's maybe exactly what happened.
Could be.
So
we got a call
very
coming
sad.
In. Definitely, we have open phone lines tonight. We have Orlene Curley with us. 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. We're going to go to our first caller tonight, Art in Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Steve and guest. You mentioned Bill Gates and his comment about vaccines, but I believe you said 2007, which is actually incorrect.
What year was it?
For the record, it was the TED Talks of 2010, in which he said, and I quote, the world's population is currently at 6 billion and very rapidly moving toward 9 billion. But if we do a really great job, and he said great job, on healthcare, which means things like vasectomies, hysterectomies, things like this, to sterilize you, reproductive care, which is code speak for abortion, and vaccines.
Yep.
And we can by doing this, we can reduce the population by 10-15%. Now, that's pretty scary when you think about it. You know, they're coming right out and they're telling you the plan, you know. And when I think about this, I think back to, I think it was around 2007 when I watched a rally in Denver, Colorado. Might have been a little bit earlier than 2007, but it was right around that time where they were doing a rally in Denver, Colorado, and they were on the steps of the courthouse. And some guy from NOAA was up there on the stage talking about climate change and depopulation, and he was being applauded talking about depopulation. The people just, you know, they're just so ignorant. They don't realize they're voting for, they're clapping for their own demise. It's just really astounding to me that people just, they let stuff like this float without calling it out. And nobody's called these people out like this. You know, I only hear about this kind of stuff on RBN. I don't hear about it anywhere else. And I don't know why we don't have more people talking about this stuff.
I agree. Thank you for correcting me on that. You know, in my head here, I was floating around numbers, dates, and I said 210, 211. No, I think it's 2007. I played it several times on the show before, but thank you for correcting me on that. I have put that in my memory banks here, and it is 2010, Bill Gates' TED speech talking about depopulation using vaccines and improving women's health reproductive care. You know, when you first heard that, Art, when you first heard that, what came to mind right off the bat? Is this guy serious? He wants to bring down the population? What were you thinking when you first heard that?
I actually watched the whole speech all the way through, and he's talking about carbon. And when he gets to this, yep. I'm like, I looked over at my buddy, and I said, did he just say what I thought he said? And yep. My buddy looked at me, and he said, I think he said what we both said.
Yeah. I remember the equation. He had an equation written down on a board there. And the highest contributor to CO2 in our atmosphere is done by what? The people. So if we reduce this number right here, CO2 goes down. Hey, Art, yep. If you want to stay over, stay over. Thanks for your call. And
no,
we'll be right
man.
Back.
Thanks.
You got it.
We're going to the end of the line.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
we are back. Our special guest tonight is Orlene Curler. We're talking about her new book. When is the release date, Orlene? Again, the title of the book and the release date?
It's going to be released next month, I'm hoping in time for Christmas. And the title of it is Inferno Enigma, What Really Happened in the Mysterious Maui Fires. And people will be able to order it at my website, bookfortruth.com, or they can also order it at the National Eagle Forum website, eagleforum.org.
Sounds great. We have our other guest, my guest host, co-host, coming in on the second hour. We're going to bring him in a little earlier. Rob James, are you there?
Hey, how are you?
There you go.
I'm here.
He's my right-hand man. This guy is pretty dang sharp. I brought him on. We've been good friends for the last couple of years, and I bring him on for the second hour. And he is quite educated. So I think he probably has some questions for you, Orlene, on the fires, the similarities between the California ones and Maui. So I'm going to bring him in here and let him ask you some questions.
Sure, that'd be great.
So, Rob. One of the big questions we could look at could potentially be go back and pick radar images of what was going on in the area, weather movements and stuff. Because the interesting part about a lot of these anomalies, whether the microwaves and stuff, weather chasers have caught the anomalies on the radar by freeze frame, and they have them on record. So that's another possibility of getting some more information on this, because if it was a microwave dew weapon or a directed energy weapon, that would be interesting to, you know, there's definitely differences there.
The other
thing is, from what I understood was on that Space Force, U.S. Space Force, had a base there, north side of the island.
Hmm. So, and maybe they were part of this place where the weapons were.
Well, let me interject real quick here, because I talked to Paul Preston about that, and I said, Paul, where was the base station for this operation takeoff and landing? Where was that? Was it Hickam? He said, no, it was not Hickam. It was the base that you just mentioned, Rob. It was that base.
And here's the thing about this, just so you know, the information that I have from sources states unequivocally that it was started out as a black hat operation, as you were talking, in this, to wipe out those people in that area. Strategically.
And I want you to come back and give us a little definition breakdown, Rob. You talk about black hat. I want to break that down a little bit here, because I'm not quite sure where you're going with that one. Second hour coming up. National Intro Report. Stay tuned. Take all our money and send it abroad.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.